place, our enlarged place for us. Amen? Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Those of you here need to be able to say that. Hallelujah. And just welcome all of you today. God's good. Hallelujah.
I'm the last one to get out of here.
Praying for Bill today. Bill's sister passed during the night, last night, up in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah.
Up in the San Fran, Oakland area.
Yeah.
And just grace to you. She was a believer. And did you want to say anything about that?
Just thank you, guys. But I have to say that God brings remarkable peace in times like this. It's just there was just a steadiness. It was sudden. Nobody expected this. I least of all did not see this coming, but God knew it was coming. So thank you for your continued prayers going forward. I know that right now I'm going to be looking forward to ministering to my brother-in-law and the two sons, my two nephews. Don't know what the arrangements are yet, guys. It just hit. And keep them in prayer, especially because when that sort of thing hits, all of the law officials are there. You know, you have the paramedics, you know, you've got the coroner, you've got the fire department, and that whole thing. And it's chaos because I've been through it before. So keep them in prayer. I appreciate it. Thanks.
We love you, Bill. I am now. We always feel lost, you know, on our side, but when they're believers, it's awesome, right? And you know it's true. None of our loved ones that have gone before us, none of them would come back. And once they've been to glory, unless God sends them back. You know, you heard a few testimonies like that. They're like, nah, love you. I'll see you when you get here. Just make sure you get your ticket punched and get here. Amen. And join me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, y'all ready? Get in the Word for a few minutes? And we're just going to go for it. Let's go for it this morning. Let's go to John chapter 12 and verse number 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, I just wanted to make mention our dear Pastor Ford from Farmington, New Mexico. He's dancing in glory this morning. The reason I know that is he danced a lot down here. So I know he's dancing up there. Hallelujah. And Charlotte and them were not able to join us for our Easter gathering last week. But I know you got to go to be there for that. And anyway, I only got to know him the last couple of years. But he and I really bonded at the camp meetings. And look forward to bonding more with him in heaven together one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's go to John chapter 12 and verse number 20. I want to begin there. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. And these then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Real quick, even though Jesus came to the Jews, he came to minister to the Jews, have you noticed that you see throughout the Gospels, the nations were already coming to him? What did the prophet say? He is the desire of nations. So they were already wanting to see Jesus. And so with that going on, so Philip came, we'll continue. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is what we've been celebrating the last few weeks, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears, everybody say it, much fruit. You see that? Much fruit. Jesus didn't just give his life so one apostle would rise up, but much fruit. Amen. You and I are all in this room. I know every one of you, and I know you're all born again and you love Jesus, and you're fruit of his resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
And it's important for us to understand that. Scripture is clear of that. When you're born again, you're created in Christ Jesus in the newness of life. And Hebrews says that he's bringing many sons to glory. Many sons. Hallelujah. I know there's a time, prophetically, we talk about the time of apostasy and falling away. Well, that's already been going on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean the harvest has stopped. Amen? I just don't want to make sure. I don't want to be a part of the people whose love has grown cold and fallen away. I want to be a part of the people that are still winning the harvest until the coming of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So we need to believe for that. Verse number 25. He who loves his life loses it, but he who hates his life in this world, everybody say
in this world.
Will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must what? Follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now we see here, obviously, the call of discipleship, which requires us, how many of you know, if you're going to really follow him as a disciple, you have to lay this life down. I mean, you know, you're in control of this life so that you can serve and follow Jesus. And as I shared with you last week, his way is the better way.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that was our altar call last week. We make room for you, Lord, because I want to walk after the better way to live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Does everybody know, as much as we read the beauty of all that He did for 3.5 years, the glory of all of that, His purpose was to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. Amen? That was His purpose, His ultimate purpose. That's why He came. And as it says in 1 John, to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And He does that through His sacrifice that we've been celebrating all morning in song. This was His main purpose as the Lamb of God. And yes, He did give us an example to walk in, obviously. But we can't walk after Him in our old sinful nature. You can't just try to mimic Jesus. You have to be born again. Hallelujah. And you have to be born from death unto life as a fruit of His resurrection. And one thing I'm the happiest about for me is I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. But I am under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's very important. So, you know, it doesn't mean we're lawless people and we just kind of, well, I'm saved now. I can just live like I want to and love the world. No. We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Which is better than sin and death any day. Anybody ever lived under the cloud of sin and death? Man, you goof up, bam, God's going to get you one, right? And so, you know, you live under that. Thank God for grace. Amen?
Yeah.
Verse 28. Then Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven and said, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. So the people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. How many of you know that voice wasn't something Jesus had to hear? Are you with me? It probably, you know, if anything, he was probably a little surprised because he prayed to his Father all the time. But this booming voice comes from heaven. And it wasn't the first time that happened. And like I say, others couldn't, but it was a confirmation to them. You know, I've often thought, well, Lord, what were you showing? I believe he was showing even to his own disciples and those that were around him at the time. I believe he was proving to them that he truly was from heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And that the Father he prayed to, this wasn't just some, you know, mystical thing he did on the earth. It was the confirmation of that. And actually, the next statement he makes sets the record straight. And it's very important we catch this. Look at verse 31. Now judgment is upon the world. And now the ruler of this world, now that's not speaking of God Almighty, it's speaking of the devil, Satan. Okay? The ruler of this world will be what? Talk to me. He will what? Be cast out. Now notice he says the word now, which the meaning of that is at this time, judgment's coming upon this world, and at this time the enemy will be cast out. Okay? Now, hang on to this. If you're looking at this in your Bibles, hang on to chapter 12 and flip over to chapter 16. Let me show you something here. In chapter 16 of John, verse 7, Jesus is speaking with about the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming. Okay? One of the purposes. It says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, how many know for the guys that walked with him for 3.5 years, that's going to be a hard sell, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go away. You've been walking around with me, but I'm leaving. And he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he who comes will convict the world concerning sin. How many of you know, if you let the Holy Spirit do that job, that's a lot, you get a lot better results than us doing it.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's say it together. Sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, so to be perfectly clear what he meant, he said concerning sin, what is the sin? It's because you don't believe in me. Number two, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. See, he was a righteous standard before them, but they were no longer going to be able to just behold and watch Jesus walk in righteousness. How many know you need to be convicted of what's right and wrong?
That's right.
Amen? And the Holy Spirit does that. And then he says, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, now get this, here's the judgment. Because what? Talk to me. The ruler of this world has been judged. You know, I know a lot of Christians that need conviction about that. That the enemy, our enemy, has been judged.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And when we come to Jesus through the cross, he's been cast out.
Right.
And we need to understand that authority that's been given because of that. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes we let the enemy run roughshod over us. We kind of stop short of understanding what the Holy Spirit came to do.
Yeah.
We need some believers to get some conviction about this. Amen?
Amen.
Yesterday we were in the park, you know, talking to a lot of people bound up, man. Yeah. I mean, bound up big time. Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, when we were driving home, I was just thinking, so many of them, obviously people have to be repentant and open, but I'm telling you, there's a level of this that we need to be able to communicate to the bound. Yeah. Amen? That he who has his thumb on them, they can be free from that. Amen? Right. Hallelujah. Okay, go back to chapter 12 and let's finish the passage we were in earlier. Go to verse 32 with me. And look what he says next. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will what? Draw all men to myself. Okay? But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. So when he talked about being lifted up from the earth, he was talking about being lifted up on the cross. Okay? Now, we lift him up, but we need to make sure we're lifting him up as the sacrifice. Because people, see, they have to see that in order to be free. Amen? Amen. Did that make sense? Okay. So, he's lifted up. So, in this season we're in, this spring season, this the fall, the spring feast of the Lord, I am to celebrate, I'm to remember, I'm to celebrate, and I'm to proclaim his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection. Amen? As a first fruits, okay? And that helps understand a lot of things. Paul said it this way, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to he who believes it. Right? The gospel is not powerful if you don't believe it. If you believe it, it's powerful. It'll release salvation power to every heart that believes it. Amen? And Paul said, but you know what? As a minister of God, I can't be ashamed of this message. You may reject it, but I'm not ashamed of it. Yes, he was raised. Amen? He wasn't just raised on Easter Sunday, and that's it. He is raised and he's alive forevermore. Glory be to God. And he rules and reigns from on high, seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, so he's not ashamed. You know, people are drawn to Jesus through the cross. They actually are. They're drawn to Jesus through the sacrifice that he made, and we can't be ashamed of that. That's the message. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of what he did, and it's a supernatural drawing. And also in John's gospel, it's in chapter 6, I believe, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. How many know that's true? You could try to, you know, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You know, there's a draw that's supernatural of God. Those who are drawn to Jesus to be saved, can I tell you? I also saw this from the park, and I've known this for many years of doing any type of missionary outreach or whatever, especially evangelistic type outreach. People, if they don't get discipled, they're most likely not going to walk the new life. And if they don't get discipled, then they end up becoming one of those people we're praying with in a prayer line. That have been saved about 15 times. Are y'all with me? So the discipling is very important. But can I say to them, here's what I want to talk to you about today. But it's also about a connectedness to the body. Okay? And Paul went to great lengths to describe this, to help us to understand when he wrote about the body of Christ and what that really means. So can we look at that together? I hope we can because we're going to. Ephesians 1 verse 17. Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, this is his prayer, okay? He's praying this prayer. May give to you what? A spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be what? Enlightened. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Everybody say it with me out loud. In the saints. Most people don't think that way about the church. Do they? They don't. The church, the redeemed, is the riches of his glory is found in the church. Hallelujah. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward who? Us who believe. Come on. Hallelujah. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Oh, he describes what that means. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things, everybody say all things, in subjection under his feet. Now stay tuned. And gave him his head over what? All things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He doesn't just fill the pastor or the evangelist or the prophet, you know? A few leaders are filled with Jesus. No, he fills all of us in all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Any part of your body that doesn't have the life in your body flowing into it will have to be amputated.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
True. Yeah.
Now think about that way spiritually, because Paul's using a connotation here helping us to understand how we function in the body. Think about this. I said this on Sunday last week. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, it's the only body he has on the earth.
That's right.
Think about it. I mean, everybody's praying for God to do something, and God's saying, I'm just praying my body will get busy. I just wish my body would get engaged with me. Amen? And maybe check in with the head every once in a while. How about that? You know? And so that he can flow through the body. He wants to use all of us and be in all of us. And how many of you know every aspect of the body, no matter what we think in the area of honoring or dishonoring, every aspect of the body is equally important. I don't care if it's your little toe. You don't want to lose it.
That's right.
Right? Maybe you can say, well, I had to do that. Okay, take the little toe. You know, how about this skin here on my elbow? Take that. You know, but you know, whatever part it is, God is good. Amen. Filling all of us in all of us. Again, as people are drawn to Jesus, they're drawn by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they're born again. It's crucial that we connect to the body of Christ, his church. Now, I'm not saying connect in a religious way. There's enough of that. I'm talking about in the spirit, which is our common fellowship, but also to connect in functioning together. Everybody say together.
Together.
What I found in my life is, I'm not accusing anybody besides us of anything different. I'm just saying dead religion causes dysfunction.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. A live covenant relationship with one another connected together brings life.
Yes.
But dead religion can cause a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah.
It may look, but there's no power to it. You know, it's a form of godliness that denies the power of God. So we got to be careful. What happens is the body becomes... I'm not saying they're not even saved. They're not even confused. I would not dare to do that. It's not my job to judge who's really saved or not saved. That's not the point. My point is, dead religious things cause us to become paralyzed. Or, how about this, handicapped as a body. We become handicapped by that. And so we lose sight of what was Paul really trying to say here? Or what was God trying to say to us through Paul? Again, all this is made possible because of the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. We're going to talk about this ascension of Jesus. Now, go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Another passage here. Ephesians 4. And he does mention here the five leadership gifts of the church, okay? He does mention that here. But I want you to see it impacts the body. It's not just impacting these five ministry gifts, okay? Let's look at it together. Ephesians 4, verse 10. He who descended is he himself who also ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Hallelujah. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. If you, King James says ministry. For the ministry. How many are serving in his ministry? Ministry is serving. Serving is ministry. Okay? To the what? The building up of what? The body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Not just Josephus to go to seminary. That we all attain to the unity of the faith. Amen? And of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a what? A mature man. To the measure. If you want to know what he meant. This is a mouthful. Are you ready? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He raised the bar really high. Amen? I mean, think about that. The fullness of Christ, not just a little trickle of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer children, to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, but by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to
grow up.
Look at your neighbor and say, grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up into what? All aspects into him. Not your pastor. Not your leader. Not your apostle. I don't care who it is. You're to grow up into him. Amen. The head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, now this is important, is being what? Fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That the word there for joint would be every connection. Okay? Every connection. According to the proper working of what? Each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Hallelujah. So, We're all to be equipped to minister. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody. At some level. And we're also all called to be in unity in our faith. Why? Because God blesses agreement.
That's right.
Amen? He doesn't bless dysfunction and disunity. He blesses agreement. And we're also to grow up into every aspect, into Jesus our head, and to be fitted together. Here's the thing. I know I've shared this with you before, and I'm not trying to be redundant, but if you take my finger, you might say, well, that's a part of my body. Just use it as for an example. Paul did. I figured I can't do, right? But if I took a perfectly good finger and tried to connect it to my kneecap, it probably won't function very well there. Plus, I'll be a freak.
Yeah.
But the point is, every place... Oh, but here's what I want you to see. We're not all... Think about the body. This even a local church like ours, a small church like ours. Every one of us, if you're connected, we're not all directly connected to each other.
No.
That's not possible. But we're indirectly connected. In fact, you, as in your faith in Jesus Christ, you're indirectly connected throughout the whole body of Christ and the whole earth.
That's right.
Right? So sometimes there is going to be places you connect. It's just where you're equipped. The word for equipping also means to fit into place. Like in masonry, when they would polish a stone and get it in the wall. There's a place you fit. And have you ever tried to fit yourself somewhere where you didn't belong?
Right.
I've tried it. I tried to do ministry I wasn't called to do. And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know what I mean? Man, you got to do a lot of polishing on that rock to get that to fit there. It just doesn't fit there.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful picture of us of what it means in the Greek to be equipped. It's not merely you learn some things and you get trained. That's part of it. But it's getting fit in the right place. How many of you know, if the body is fit, what do we call physical fitness?
Yeah.
Everything's working and functioning properly. Hallelujah. In the name of... That makes sense, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So the connections we make around functioning and ministering together. Each of us as the church are the body that Jesus has on the earth. As I shared with you about those earthen vessels, that's all we are. We're jars of clay, right? We're earthen vessels. But I'll tell you what, we're His vessels.
That's right.
And He wants to show His glory through us. Hallelujah. And I love the fact that He shows His glory through us, because when God's really showing His glory, the earthen vessel can't get the glory.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
I don't know about you. That's the way I want the Lord to shine through my life, in such a way that I don't get the glory, but God gets the glory. Amen? We've had enough of the praising of earthen vessels. That's been going on for years. Glorifying earthen vessels. Worshiping around earthen vessels. So it's vitally important for each of us to find our place. Would you agree? Our connectedness in the body of Christ. To and in the body of Christ. Otherwise, we just can't function properly. And you know this. You can't, if you take a perfectly good body part and just disconnect it from the body, it will die. Right? Because the life and the power flows at the connection. Amen? Everybody got that?
Yes.
I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not legitimate or you're not redeemed of the Lord. But when you come together, that's when you really begin to fulfill what God's called you to build. So again, to be equipped is to be fitted and held together so we can grow to the fullness of the stature that belongs to Christ. Hallelujah. So we got some growing to do. Amen?
Yeah.
So I wasn't trying to anger anyone when I told you to tell your neighbor to grow up. But we all need to grow up and mature in this. Hallelujah. Now, Ezekiel had a vision of dry bones. Y'all remember the vision?
Yeah.
He saw this valley of dry bones. Interesting, of body parts. It was a valley of body parts just laying there in this destitute condition. And you remember when he prophesied, we're going to look at this in just a moment when we close. But when he looked at the bones, what did the Lord command him to do? Speak to them, prophesy to them, and call them together. And they begin to rattle and they begin to come together. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I believe that the Lord is all about getting His body back together. Now, this is not a COVID, post-COVID message, but it is. It's time for the body to be together, amen? In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory be to God. All you that aren't here, say amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to read two passages from you from Isaiah, but I want you to just listen, because I'm going to read it. We can't do the passion on there, can we? Oh, I didn't know that. Can you pull it up real fast? Go to Isaiah 49:19 through 22. But I want you to hear it. Don't look at it in your other translations, because you know these passages from. But I want you to hear it in the passion. You got it? Isaiah 49:19. Start with 19 and go to 22. Got it? Yeah, you can now. Yeah, that was one of the first Old Testament books he did, was Isaiah. Yeah. Got it? Okay, it's not letting him. Back to where I thought I was going to be reading to you. Just hear it, okay? Just hear it with your heart. See, your ruins and devastated places will soon be overcrowded with settlers. I could go to a lot of messages on this politically, but I'm not going to. While your destroyers stay far away. You thought you had lost the children, but you will hear them say, get this. The Spirit spoke this to me about Wednesday this week. This place is too cramped for me. Ding, 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 ding. Word of the moment. Amen. For us, for sure. Make more room for me to live in. And you will say to yourself, where in the world did all these children come from? Who birthed these for me? I thought I was bereaved and barren. I thought I was all alone, forgotten in exile. So how did they all get here? Hallelujah. This is what the Lord Yahweh says. Soon I will raise my hand, get this, and signal to the nations, and they will come with your little boys bundled in their arms and your little daughters carried on their shoulders.
That's cool.
Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? That was so prophetic. I felt like it was for us and really the church as a whole. This place is too cramped. And all of you in here today, our vision is too big for this cramped space. Hallelujah. Some of you are in our old building. You're thinking, well, I think we're going the wrong direction, Pastor. The Lord has raised His standard, has He not? We've just been celebrating it. He raised His standard from the earth. It's Jesus. Jesus is the standard that is raised. And He draws all men unto Himself. Our spiritual sons and daughters are coming forth in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last Sunday, the last couple of weeks, we've been singing, you know, I will make room for you. And that's important because, how many know, enlargement begins here. We got to be enlarged in our hearts, but we also need to be part of that enlargement of our hearts is our preparation for what God wants to do. I want to make room for the harvest. Is anybody with me?
Yes.
I want to make room. I'm not only talking about having a safe place for us to all be in a room together and not, you know, to deal with distancing and all that. But I'm talking about coming together and making room for the harvest that God wants to bring in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Yes.
Wants to get faith about that. Now, Isaiah 54 is the other one I wanted to read to you, out of the Passion. Now, you know this one well, where it says, shout for joy, O barren one, right? Amen? Our spiritual sons and daughters. Well, listen to it in the Passion. I'd never read it in the Passion until this week. Rejoice with singing, you barren one. You who have never given birth, burst into a song of joy and shout. You who have never been in labor. For the deserted wife will have more children than the married one. Says Yahweh. Increase is coming, so enlarge your tent and add extensions to your dwelling. Hold nothing back. Everybody relax, I'm not going to take up any money. It's not a building campaign. Make the tent ropes longer and the pegs stronger. You will increase and spread out in every direction. Your sons and daughters will conquer nations and revitalize desolated cities. Do not fear. For your shame is no more. Do not be embarrassed, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the inadequacy you felt in your youth and will no longer remember the shame of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. His name is Yahweh, commander of the angel armies. Your kinsman redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He has the title of Mighty God of all the earth. For I, Yahweh, have invited you to come back. Like a depressed, deserted wife. Like a young wife who has experienced rejection. I'm drawing you back to me, says Yahweh. Amen. Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Here's what the Lord showed me. We must draw near to Him like never before. Continue. Lord, we make room for you. I want to. Because how many of you know, you can only be fruitful with the husband you're intimate with. Hello? Everybody does know we're talking spiritually. Okay, all right, hallelujah. All of you that are older, relax. You're not going to have more natural children. Amen. For this is where He enlarges us, and this is where we prepare for increase. But can I tell you, we also must have a heart to go into the ready fields of harvest. Amen? We have to have a heart to go there, to win them. And I believe this, the Lord, I remember I taught you the message about our enlarged place, but then also our abundant place. And I really believe that what was the Lord was showing me when I was teaching on that is our enlarged place, I believe it's the next place He has for us that obviously will be more comfortable and more enlarged so that we can move forward. But I believe, what I hear the Spirit saying to me now, how many of you know, quickly with the Lord can be a long time for you and I. like a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, that kind of thing. But I do know that I feel like the Lord says, but I'm also going to quickly bring you to your abundant place. Yeah. Some of the vision we've had for a place that can truly be an apostolic type center and training and equipping and warehousing of the things we need and all of that. So I just believe in God. How many of you believe in God with me for that? Yeah. I'm serious. We're believing God for that. And I'm believing it's going to be a miraculous thing that God gives us that. If we will prepare our hearts, I believe He'll give it to us in a way. And it's not going to be with a lot of the campaigning of funds and stuff like the traditional way it's been done for so many years. I believe God's just going to show His hand mightily and give us some things. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Or I will pass the plate. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but so we can assemble together as the royal priesthood. I mean, that's still important. Amen. So we can offer up spiritual sacrifices together, so we can fellowship together in the Spirit of God, but also so we can become and make disciples together and then be equipped and fitted together to go forth into whatever God would send us to do into the right fields of harvest. Even for our little church, we have a lot of doors that are open to us and doors that have been open to us. I just got a call this morning. I got a text from Pastor Christian. You know, we stay at their facilities when we're in White River. They're at the White River Assembly. No, Canyon Day Assembly of God, and you guys met them. No, well, I showed you the property. I don't think we met the pastors, but he texted me this morning. They give an approval. All the Apache camp meetings are on for the summer, and I'm praying the same for the Navajo. So doors are opening in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and things are getting ready to break loose. Hallelujah. Come on. So let's get ready. So we want to do that together. So here's what I hear the Lord saying to us for this hour. It's time to reach the harvest. Would we agree? But it's also time to house the harvest and make disciples of the harvest. Y'all see that? Yes, reach them, but also house them, raise them up, connect them. Because I don't want them to become another statistic. God's going to do a mighty fast harvest at the end of the age. And we have to be ready for what God wants to do. He's still bringing many sons to glory. And like never before, our job is to lift up the standard. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul said. He said, I didn't come among you preaching anything to the Corinthians. These people who were totally godless, had no concept of God. Paul said, I didn't come unto you. I came unto you with fear and trembling. He said, I preached Jesus crucified. In other words, he lifted up the standard. And he said, in a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Because he said, I didn't want your faith to rest on the wisdom of a man, but I want it to rest on the power of God. Amen? Yeah. So hallelujah, let's get excited. God wants to do it again. And we just need to get out among the people that need to hear and see it. And glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at that vision and we'll close, okay? Ezekiel 37. I'm going back to New American Standard for that one, okay? After I stomp on Daniel's effect pedals back here. Made some adjustments for you, Daniel. They are my pedals. That's right. Put a little reverb on my voice. Hallelujah. Everybody good?
Yes. Excellent.
How you doing, Nora?
Oh, I thought you were waving to me.
Well, I was waving at you too, but I was... Good? Good? Hallelujah. People are getting well. Amen? Hey, Paul. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? I know you know this, but just let your heart be opened up. Remember this. The Bible says in Acts, what did Peter preach? Jesus will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of the prophets from ancient times. Some of these prophetic passages, they seem obscure to us, but they're actually speaking to us. And I believe this is one of the miracles we're going to see, the fragmented body of Christ coming together. Amen? I believe that. Amen? Now let's look at it together. Ezekiel 37, let's begin with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And He caused me to pass among them round about. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. Everybody say very dry.
Very dry.
Hallelujah. I've been in those places too. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord God, You know. Good answer. If you don't know the right answer, you know, don't give the wrong answer. Would have been, no way. Amen? I guess it would have been better if he said, well, of course they can live, you know. Easy for us to read this now and say that, right? And again he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you so that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may what?
Come alive.
Come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So, I went home and prayed about it. No, what does it say? I prayed about it. Said, somebody else will prophesy. Speak to dead bones. No? He said, I prophesied as I was what? Commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Everybody say a noise. And behold, a rattling. Or rattling. Okay? Now in the desert, we don't like rattling sounds. Do we? That's not a good sound. But I'm talking about not the rattle of a rattlesnake, but the rattle of bones coming together. And what does it say? These bones, what? They came together. Bone to its bone. Y'all see the connection? They didn't just come together as a pile of bones. Very important. Because see, a body's coming together. You're getting this. He formed them together, okay? Bone to bone. And I looked and behold, sinews were on them. And flesh grew and skin covered them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath or to the wind, right. Pneuma. Okay? Prophesy, son of man, to the Spirit of God. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may what? Come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And what happened? Come on, guys. And breath came into me in them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet. And what was the result? Come on. An exceedingly great army. Hallelujah. That's the result when they came together. You know, I think of the four winds. I don't know about you. You know, I'm not a meteorologist, but that means from every direction.
That's right.
Right? I mean, what do we say here during monsoon season with these mighty downdrafts? These downdrafts that come, you know, these bursts of wind that just come down literally from down upon things in the desert floor. And I know it happens elsewhere too. But I would say, I just believe that God, when the body starts to connect, I believe there's going to be some encounters with the Spirit of God unlike anything we've ever known.
That's right.
I really do. I mean, man, he started this way at Pentecost. You remember?
Yep.
Even the building they were in was filled with the mighty rushing wind before they ever became filled. And it's just, I think God's wanting to do something really, really mighty in that way. And I believe he's coming in a mighty way, but he's going to come in a mighty way upon an assembled and connected together body.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? There's been a lot of individual body parts that have experienced some great things from God, and he calls you to the secret place to experience those things. I'm not against that. But there's something corporately he wants to do.
Yeah.
There's something powerful corporately, and there's going to be, but there has to be the rattling. There has to be the coming together. Amen? Amen. All right. Y'all are, I told y'all to act like you're in the South and don't be quiet on me. Amen. Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Do we believe that?
Yes.
A ready bride. A ready bride in a glorious church. He's not coming for a caught off guard bride. Oh my, I need to get my dress ready. Right? I need to put on some makeup. No, no. We're going to be ready when he comes. Amen. So we've got to allow. My encouragement to you today is allow the enlargement to begin in here. Right? In each of us. And to seek God. Not only that He would fill every aspect of our lives, but that we would also say, Lord, I know You want to connect me. You want to join me critically within Your body. So that I can function in whatever it is that God's called me to do. In this life. How many know, if really, you know, we call those the fivefold leaders, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, event. But how many know, if they're really functioning, they are actually we're not to go and applaud them doing all the ministry. The great evangelist, the great preacher. No, it's about them equipping the body to begin to function in this. Do you see? Do you see that? Very important. Sometimes we miss that because we'll celebrate. For example, a lot of times evangelists are celebrated on how powerful they evangelize. But in all honesty, there should be in their wake an army of evangelists.
Right, exactly.
People that know how to win the lost and to reach people, right?
Yeah.
So does that make sense? So I'm telling you, I believe there's a lot of things in even the semantics of what we understand about the body that God wants to do. But I believe with all my heart. And I know, I want to say this to you. I know I make some jokes and carry on with people online and here together and all that we've been through. But let me tell you, all churches are going through it. The big ones may not notice it as much because they're so much bigger than us in number. They don't notice, you know, that, you know, half to two-thirds of their people aren't back yet. that kind of a thing. But everybody's going through it, but I feel with all of my heart, and I'm not just saying this because there's been so much progress with the COVID virus and all of that, and restraints are being eased up on. I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm saying I believe prophetically God's even using some of that moment to have a mighty coming back together.
Yes.
I really believe that. Yes. And I believe we have to make sure we, and that be all of us, here or at home, we need to hear what this Lord is saying, and we need to respond to God and be a part of what He wants to do in this hour. Amen? Yes. Amen? I love you, so I don't share that in any way to make you. But here's what the Bible says. Repentance. We know, and I've taught you this, but repentance is not merely you repenting of a sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, you need to repent. But I'm just saying, a lot of what we need to repent of is just mindsets and the way we think and the way we approach things that need to change. Amen? So that we can be what God wants us to be. Repentance is a word that's used in all kinds of settings. But the body of Christ needs to repent and start rattling. Amen? And start coming together and joining together and finding their connectedness. And in that connectedness, God's going to release a new power. Unlike anything we've ever known. Amen?
Amen?
And I believe that with all my heart. Because what did he say? Repent and return. Peter, this was, he preached this right when the 3,000 came in, the initial harvest of people into the church after Pentecost. Peter said, repent and return. Notice that, return. I like that too. I can use that. If there's anybody, let's get back. All you bones, come on. Return so that your sins may be wiped away, of course. How do you be glad? Anytime you repent, He wipes your sins away. Whatever mistake you made, or how, you know, He cleanses you of that. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But then it says, and times, plural, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And I know I've taught you this, but that word in the Greek for refreshing means to catch the wind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So get yourself positioned to catch the wind of what God's going to do. Hallelujah. It's not my job to decide who's wheat and who's tares. Remember that? He said that. The angels will deal with that at my coming, right? That's not my job. But I'm telling you this. My job is I want to make sure I'm part of the remnant. I want to make sure I'm part of the people that are pressing in. Hallelujah. Because you know what? If we don't see what God wants to do happen, I would rather go be with Jesus too. But I know there's a purpose for our lives. No matter how young or how old we are, God's got something special He wants to do through us and in this life before it's over. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up with me, everybody. Stand up with me right now. Hey, guys, could y'all come back up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want us to close with a song of worship, but I want to pray a blessing over you this morning. And as we're worshiping, you're free to leave whenever you want to. But if you would like prayer for anything, if you will help me by coming down to the front so I know you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray over you and for you, okay? About anything, okay? So don't run out of here for that reason. And I know I don't get to speak to a lot of you because of the way we're having to do this right now. But it's important for me to have that time to minister to you if you need ministry this morning, okay? Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we just thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the power and presence that You abide in praise. You abide in our worship. You abide in Your Word, for You were the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. I thank You, Lord God, and we give our hearts to You today. We continue to say we will make room for You. And I pray, Lord God, enlarge us all. Enlarge us all, Lord God. Hallelujah. Break down every wall of tradition and religion that's got to go. Shake up the ground under us, Lord God, that's not of You. That we may be grounded upon the soundness and come into a unity of the faith and all that You're calling us to do. Lord, we believe. Say, I believe.
I believe.
There is a great harvest that is coming in. Our sons and our daughters. Enlarge my heart, O Lord. To receive all that You have and to be a part of Your body in this day and age for a time such as this. One more time. For a time such as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We respond to You, Lord. We respond to You, Lord. Go ahead. Let's just seal this time with a song of worship. And just any time you want to come down, if you want prayer for anything, I'll pray with you and pray for you. Lord, bless each one of you and keep you. Causing His face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. As He lifts up His countenance upon you and grants you peace, I just declare over all of you, shalom, in the mighty name of Jesus. All of you at home, the same thing. This is for you. Shalom, in the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed, be restored, be fitted, be equipped, be connected. In Jesus' name.